Welcome to the Model Railroader, your ultimate destination for all things railroading. From trains.com, we bring you step-by-step modeling and construction projects, insightful reviews, tips from the experts, and more. This program is proudly presented by the Audio Information Network of Colorado, dedicated to providing accessible content for all. Find us at aincolorado.org. This program is intended to be used solely by individuals with barriers to print. All aboard!
Thank you for joining us for the Model Railroader magazine. My name is Jason Consul. This is week 3 of the February 2024 Model Railroader magazine. This week we will be reading from the following articles: more from News and Reviews, Letters from Readers, OnTrains.com, and Trains of Thought. More from the News and Reviews section. Kato N-Scale Siemens ALC-42 Charger. The Siemens ALC-42 Charger, the latest long-distance diesel locomotive in Amtrak's fleet, has joined Kato's N-Scale lineup. The newly tooled model features an injection-molded plastic shell, a 5-pole motor with all-wheel electrical pickup, and a mix of molded and separate factory-applied detail parts. Amtrak placed its first order for 75 ALC-42 chargers in 2018. The units will ultimately replace the passenger carrier's General Electric P-42 diesels, some of which are more than 25 years old and built to earlier emission standards. In mid-2022, Amtrak ordered 50 more ALC-42 chargers. The prototype diesels are rated at 4,200 horsepower and feature a Cummins QSK95 16-cylinder diesel engine, head-end power, and positive train control. The diesels meet the Environmental Protection Agency Tier 4 emission standards. To capture the smooth lines of the full-size ALC-42, Kato used a multi-piece injection-molded plastic body on its N-scale model. The roof and curved piece framing the front windows are separate pieces. Most of the details on the shell are molded, such as the grab irons, door handles, and vents. I was impressed with the screens over the engine compartment cooling room. They're molded and painted in such a way to give the illusion there are separate fans under the screens. Other rooftop details include molded antennas, the exhaust stack, and an air conditioner above the cab. A freestanding plastic Nathan K5 LA air horn is located on the roof above front electrical equipment compartment. One of the distinguishing features of the full-size ALC-42 are the side panels for the engine cooling compartment. Clear plastic inserts fit behind the openings. The grill detail is printed on the front of the plastic. The ALC-42 has a split-frame mechanism. The modern passenger diesel is fitted with an offset motor, not centered on the chassis, and dual flywheels. The universal running from the rear truck to the motor is longer than the one on the front truck. The model uses the same printed circuit board as the ACS-64. The trucks are one-piece plastic castings molded in dark gray that clip to the gear towers. The wheel faces have plastic inserts that allow the manufacturer to capture details found on the prototype. Like other Kato models, the ALC-42 has leaf spring-style electrical pickups. The model features directional golden-white light-emitting diode lighting. When moving forward, the headlights, ditch lights, and number boxes are illuminated. In reverse, the rear headlight is on. The model has red light tubes for the front and rear marker lights, which don't operate in DC. From the box, the engine cooling compartment corridor is dark. This section of the locomotive can be illuminated using Kato's interior lighting kit, 11-211, sold separately. Our sample is neatly painted in Amtrak's Phase 6 paint scheme. Graphic placement matches the many prototype images I found online, though I noticed some of the smaller warning labels and the builder stickers were omitted. In addition, the MU and HEP receptacles should be picked in light blue and red as appropriate, and the rooftop antennas should be aluminum. We received a direct current sample. At 1.4 volts, the modern passenger hauler moved at 4 scale miles per hour. At 12 volts, the LC42 was rocketing down the track at 236 scale miles per hour. That's well above the prototype's maximum speed of 125 miles per hour. The model's dimensions closely follow published data on the Siemens website. If you model contemporary Amtrak long-distance trains in N-scale, you'll need a few Kato Siemens ALC42 chargers in your diesel fleet. With multiple paint schemes in DC, DCC, and DCC with sound options available, there's something for everyone. Cody Grifno, Senior Editor. Facts and features of the ALC42. Price, direct current, $140. With digital command control motor decoder, $230. With DCC and sound decoder, $340. Manufacturer, Kato USA Incorporated, 100 Remington Road, Schaumburg, Illinois, 60173, or katousa.com. Era, April 2021 to present, as decorated. Road names, Amtrak, phases 6 and 7, in 3 road numbers each, day 1, scheme in 1 number. Features, body-mounted Kato couplers with modeler-installed trip pins, 15/1000 of an inch, low on both ends. Correctly gauged wheels, weight 4.3 ounces. Tangent O-scale tank cars. Tangent scale models, known for its line of highly detailed N and HO scale injection molded plastic freight cars, is now offering a General American Transportation Corporation, GATC, 1928 design 6,000 gallon, 3-compartment tank car in brass. The models, available in 2-rail O-scale, 5 feet 0-inch gauge wheels, and Proto 48, 4-foot 8-inch gauge wheels, were produced for Tangent by Sam Model Tech in South Korea. The full-size 6,000-gallon 3-dome tank cars were built by GATC between 1928 and 1942. Examples could still be found in service into the 1970s. The tank cars were given the Interstate Commerce Commission designation ICC-103, indicating they were general-purpose, non-pressure cars. With 3 domes, the GATC 6,000-gallon tank car stood out when compared to the more numerous single-dome cars. Why 3 domes? Because the car was divided into 3 roughly 2,000-gallon compartments, each with its own expansion dome. This allowed the car to carry various grades of liquids such as gasoline, kerosene, and oil. Other products transported in the multi-compartment tank cars included acetates, acids, alcohol, various oils, printing ink, sodium silicate, solvents, tallow, and varnishes. Tangent has a well-earned reputation of producing accurately detailed scale models, and its O-scale tank cars don't disappoint. The rivet detail is crisp on the body and underframe. There are no gaps where the domes attach to the body. The tops of the domes, which are the first thing most people will see on the models, feature safety valves and detailed manway covers with formed metal handles. The middle dome also has handrails on the sides. Details on the body include a freestanding tank handrail mounted on the standoffs, factory-installed and painted wire grab irons, and metal ladders. I appreciated that the walkways had wood grain detail, appropriate for cars of this era. Steel running boards began appearing on tank cars starting in the mid-1940s. The 2 capped outlets on the ends are for the heating coils. Steam heat from a stationary source was piped into the coils, making it easier to unload thicker commodities. The steel tank band and turnbuckle detail was nicely rendered. Similar to most other tank cars, the brake system is out in the open on this GATC car. Tangent didn't skimp on the details with the AB system, including the airline, brake rods, release rod, and retainer. The metal chains connecting the caps on bottom outlets to the center still further added to the realism of the tank cars. We received 2 samples, an O-scale model decorated for Magnolia Petroleum, and a Proto 48 version lettered for Cosden & Company Petroleum Products. The paint on both models was smooth and evenly applied, and the printing was crisp and opaque. The lettering placement on the Magnolia Petroleum car closely followed a prototype image in Steam Era Freight Cars Reference Manual, Volume 2, Tank Cars, Speedwitch Media, 2008. Both cars ride on sprung 50-ton, spring plank solid bearing trucks with raised foundry data. The 33-inch metal wheel sets have front and rear face profile and internal ball bearings. The wheel sets, except for the treads, are painted a rail brown color. The Tangent Scale Model's O-Scale GATC 6,000-gallon three-compartment tank cars accurately capture the lines of their full-size counterparts. Whether you're an O-Scale modeler or prefer following Proto 48 standards, these finely detailed brass models are definitely worth a look. The cars are only available direct from the manufacturer. Cody Grivno, Senior Editor. Facts and Features. Price, $524.95. Manufacturer, Tangent Scale Models, P.O. Box 6514, Asheville, North Carolina, 28816. TangentScaleModels.com. Era, 1928 to 1970s. Road names, 2Rail, Cosden & Company Petroleum Products, General American Transportation Corporation, 1958 plus and 1968 plus, Black Lease Schemes, and Magnolia Petroleum. Proto 48, Celanese, Cosden & Company, General American Transportation Corporation, 1958 plus and 1968 plus, Black Lease Schemes, Magnolia Petroleum, and Protex Industries Incorporated, 2 to 3 road numbers per scheme. Features, KD number 740 Type E couplers at correct height, prototype specific brake wheel, weight, scale car, 14.5 ounces, Proto 48 model, 14.2 ounces, 1.5 and 1.2 ounces too heavy, respectively, per National Model Railroad Association recommended practice 20.1. Rapido HO scale, northeastern caboose. After locomotives, the next most distinctive thing on a railroad was its cabooses, and Rapido's new HO scale, northeastern caboose, is one of the best models of this classic and widely used rolling office. Prototype history. The Redding Company started building steel 8-wheel cabooses in 1924 following, mostly, a United States Railway Administration standard design for a wood-sheathed caboose. Redding modified the design with steel sheathing and later a Duryea cushion underframe. Other railroads in the anthracite region liked the design and either copied or bought what became known as northeastern cabooses. Examples include Central of New Jersey, Lehigh and Hudson River, Lehigh and New England, Lehigh Valley, Pittsburgh and West Virginia, and Western Maryland. With the advent of Conrail on April 1, 1976, many of these cabooses were repainted blue and soldiered on into the 1980s. Even before that time, they were sold to other railroads. These cars were built in the hundreds. Redding built more than 300, and Lehigh Valley built 150, and many still exist in collections and as lone roadside examples. The model. Rapido's model is made from injection-molded plastic with lots of separately applied detail parts, including full underbody and interior details. The interior is lighted, and the model includes a Rapido lighter magnetic wand to turn the lights on and off. Extra parts included black oil lanterns and red-painted window rock screens. My sample was painted in Lehigh Valley's late Cornell Red scheme with a yellow stripe. The paint was smoothly applied and opaque. The lettering is sharp and well-defined. I could read even the smallest text in the COTS panel. Grab irons, ladders, and step edges are all picked in orange. My LV model has the correct three-step cast tender-style steps and single-end window. Rain gutters span the pairs of side windows, and the window behind the stove is blanked. With the lights on in the interior, I could see the coal stove still in place. By the 1970s, this caboose would have been fitted with an oil heater and tank. A simple detail to add would be the oil fill cap to the right of the pair of windows with the blanking panel. Measuring up. The model weighs 2.4 ounces, about half of the 4.5 ounces suggested by the National Model Railroad Association recommended practice 20.1. The trucks have turned metal wheels on plastic axles, and the car is equipped with Rapido's McDonald Cartier metal knuckle couplers, which on my sample were about 20 thousandths of an inch low. The model measures within scale inches of the drawings published in the March 1982 issue of Model Railroader. The caboose had no trouble operating through the Atlas No. 4 turnouts of my home switching layout. Rapido Trains has produced another exceptional model of a popular prototype. These cars ended up on other railroads beyond those listed below. I know I'm going to put more of these on my shopping list. What about you? Eric White, editor. Facts and features. Price, $99.95. Manufacturer, Rapido Trains Incorporated, 500 Alden Road, Unit 21, Markham, Ontario, Canada, L3R5H5, RapidoTrains.com. Era, 1972 to 1976 as decorated, 1924 to mid-1980s in service. Road names, Lehigh Valley, Central Railroad Company of New Jersey, Chessie System, Conrail, Lehigh and New England, Reading Company, and Western Maryland, all in multiple road numbers. Features: blackened turned metal wheels, correctly gauged, detailed illuminated interior, McDonald Cartier metal knuckle couplers, 20 thousandths of an inch low, optional user-installed parts as required, railroad-specific details, weight 2.4 ounces, 2.1 ounces too light per National Model Railroad Association recommended practice 20.1. The next section is the Railway Post Office, Letters from Our Readers, conducted by Stephen Ott. More train clubs should share their interesting histories. From Kenneth Rimmel in Afton, Missouri. Your article about the Pacific Southern Railway Club in the November issue, titled A Railroad That Gives Back, reminded me that there are many train clubs that have long histories and unusual stories of how they began and what they had to overcome to stay around. I have been a member of a model train club since 1984. Its beginnings trace back to an after-school activity in Webster Groves High School that began in the mid-1930s. In the spring of 1938, the members voted to begin an official club and find a location outside the school to build a layout. The St. Louis, San Francisco, Frisco gave them permission to use one of the two waiting rooms in a local depot. The club eventually purchased the depot. Today, they still hold a monthly open house to entertain the public and raise donations to help maintain their circa 1910 depot and layout. I think it is a safe bet that there are many more clubs out there that are at least 60 years old and have a history we would love to hear about. The question is how to get those clubs to let us know about them and tell their story. Measuring DCC currents, from Christopher Reed in Uxbridge, Massachusetts. Measuring current, usually milliamps, is inconvenient, so you will rarely do it. So said Alan Gartner in his November DCC currents column. I will agree with that, but it's current that does the most expensive damage to model railroad components when measuring it is neglected or done incorrectly. Current, or amperes, is where heat comes from in a circuit. You can run a 12-volt motor on 16 volts and never realize it until the day you have enough cars in a train or weight in a loco to increase the current past the motor's maximum. Excess voltage means only excess speed, while excess current means heat that will damage parts often deep inside the motor or locomotive. Guess how I know. A single AC ammeter of the traditional swing needle type, not a digital readout, will show you where your track gauge is too tight or your grade is steeper than you think. It will also show the effect of binding in the locomotive. I bought my swing needle AC ammeter online for less than $10. Use heat gun to shrink tubing, from Morgan S. Long. I appreciated Eric's article on heat shrink tubing, November, but was curious why he didn't mention the micro heat guns available from several hobby suppliers, including Micromark. Having had a soldering iron or gun in my hand since age 9, now at 64, I know that using a soldering gun or lighter to shrink tubing is as imperfect as using either to dry your hair. I have tried both and nearly ignited things with the lighter or cooked them with the iron. As long as you avoid overheating and softening plastic locomotive shells, the heat gun is much easier to control. What's missing from this picture? From David Ray. Larry Noss's article about using Caboose Industries HO scale sprung ground throws appears to be missing something. Step 3's photo 1 shows the bar stock milled and holes being tapped. Are there dimensions for the point rail clamps? Model Railroad responded to David Ray's question. Yes, David, there are dimensions for the milled point rail clamps. We failed to include the illustration for these clamps in the original article. The illustration above should go before photo 1 and step 3. Larry used a small hobby milling machine to make the point rail clamps. To make it easier on himself, he machined multiple clamps on a single bar of 3/8 inch square brass stock, which eliminates most of the handling and clamping problems with very small parts. He chose a nominal distance of 1/4 inch between each clamp detail, making it easy to keep track of his location as he progressed through the milling process. We apologize for the omission. At the bottom of the page, there's a note from Model Railroader. Comments, suggestions, and additional information on Model Railroader articles and departments are welcome in this column. Every comment will be read, but not all can be printed or answered. Make your statement in 300 words or less and send it to Railway Post Office, Model Railroader Magazine, P.O. Box 1612, Waukesha, Wisconsin 53187, or email editor@modelrailroader.com. Please include your name, city, and state. The next section is on trains.com, conducted by Bryson Sleppy. One article available on trains.com is Model Railroading, the Beginner's Guide. How do you start your journey into this great hobby that we call model railroading? The team at Model Railroader and trains.com are making it easier than ever to begin, starting with the Beginner's Guide. We're also relaunching the popular Beginner's Email Series. If you're just starting out, trains.com is the place to go for all the guides to get your perfect start in the hobby. Another article available on trains.com is Spacest Places 4, A Flash of Finishing Flourishes. Host Jerry Leone may be dangerously close to finishing the town of Westcott, but he still found plenty more to do with scenery, structures, lighting, and those little details that help turn a space into a definitive place on his HO scale model railroad. Scan the attached QR code with a smartphone camera or tablet to watch the video and the rest of the Spaces to Places series. Trains of Thought by Tony Custer. Model Railroader pays a visit. It has been some time since I've had the honor of hosting then-Model Railroader editor Andy Sperandio and his wife Arlene at our northwestern New Jersey home. So it was a special treat when Model Railroader editor and longtime friend Eric White visited us recently. Better still, he brought along his wife Lee and son Alex. The occasion was a long weekend of operating sessions on several local model railroads, including my Nickel Plate Road St. Louis division. As you can see in the photo, we put Alex to work running one of the division's hottest eastbounds behind a trio of almost new Alco RS3s. They're out-of-the-box examples of the new 1600 horsepower road switchers from Bowser, and I challenge you to tell them apart from some much more expensive brass units that I also have on my roster. Eric assumed the editor's chair when former editor Carl Swanson moved down the hall to take the throttle of Trains magazine following the late editor Jim Rinn's untimely passing. With merriment, Eric brings a new dynamic to Model Railroader, and that you'll find him at operating sessions, railroad prototype modelers meets, and so on, usually on his own dime. He's as deeply into this hobby as you and I are, and I think Model Railroader will benefit from his enthusiasm and depth of knowledge, as well as his eagerness to expand on what he already knows. And he's a nice guy. If you spot him at a convention or train show, don't be shy. He'd love to meet you and listen to what's on your mind. Which reminds me, all too often, I finally get a chance to chat with a total stranger who stopped by for a visit and, as it turned out, has the potential of becoming a good friend. "Oh, I saw you at a convention a decade ago," he tells me, "but you were talking to someone else and I didn't want to barge in." Editors are always talking to someone, so don't let that stop you. Just say, "Excuse me, but I'd like to introduce myself and say hello." If we're actually busy, we'll thank you for stopping by and let it go at that. If we're just chatting, we'll either add you to the conversation or wrap up the old one and begin a new one. Model Railroad magazine editors have always been treated like visiting royalty when they stopped here or there to visit someone's model railroad or to give a talk at a convention. I have no idea why. But it does make our job easier and a lot more pleasurable when we're welcomed with open arms. When I edited Railroad Model Craftsman, however, the editor of Flying Models magazine, whose office was down the hall from mine, was amazed at this. The only way he received peer recognition was to enter and win model airplane contests. Otherwise, he was invisible. Consider how a model railroad magazine editor who entered and won a lot of model railroad model contests would be regarded. I'm betting people would think favors were being granted. I have met all of the model railroader editors since John Page and Lynn Westcott, except for Paul Larson, though I did correspond with him about articles he sent in to RMC after I assumed the task of lining up each issue's content in 1969 or 70. I even had the privilege of meeting Al Kalmbach when he visited the Purdue University Railroad Club. I personally thanked Al for establishing such a useful, inspiring, and reputable magazine. I can therefore understand why we modelers go out of our way to welcome such people into our homes, model railroad clubs, and conventions. They do their best to help us enjoy our hobby to the fullest, and they derive enjoyment from doing that. Back to Eric's visit. Henry Ford preached about getting out and getting under. See Trains of Thought in the December 2023 issue. You can't learn about what's going on from a comfy chair. It was therefore a special treat to welcome an old friend and new model railroader editor to the nickel plate country as he got a dose of NKP high-speed service in dark timetable and train order territory. And it was good to see a member of a much younger generation so engaged with the hobby. Thank you for joining us for the Model Railroader magazine. My name is Jason Consul.
You've been listening to the Model Railroader, brought to you by trains.com, that's TRANES.com, in collaboration with the Audio Information Network of Colorado. If you enjoyed this episode, we invite you to visit our website at aincolorado.org, where you can find more audio editions and original podcasts. For additional inquiries or to connect with us, feel free to give us a call at 303-786-7777. Thank you for listening.